Hello, I'm Anita Guidra.
And I'm Don McMahon. Welcome to How Did I End Up Here? A Soft Irish Rain production for Highland Radio about people from all over the world who, like us, have made Donegal their home.
Billy Banda was one of the first Africans to come to live in Letterkenny. That was more than 12 years ago. Here's his story.
My name is Billy Banda. I'm from Johannesburg, South Africa. How did I end up here? I was working for a company called Marcus Evans, and they had transferred me to the London office. At the same time, my wife had just got a job with Prudential before it became Pramerica in County Donegal, Letterkenny. I worked in London for 2 years, and then, of course, I was missing the wife and the kids. So yeah, the woman pulled me here and I ended up in Letterkenny. I've never left since then. When we got to Letterkenny, you could smell the earth. You have this fresh air, you know. And I thought, wow, you know, this is something different. I thought this is where I wanted to be because I've always loved this calm, you know, presence around me.
Good afternoon, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jared Grant. I'm the president of the Chamber of Commerce and also the vice president in Pramerica Systems Ireland. So it's an honour for me to be here today to present you with the awards for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. The best community entry was Blue Ribbon. The best youth entry was Blaze Basketball. The best carnival entry was the Donegal Youth Service and the Intercultural Club.
I'm very, very active on a community level. Remember, I've been in Ireland for 12 years anyway, and all of them, I've spent them in Letterkenny. So I am part and parcel of Letterkenny now. I know I'm a blowing, but I feel strongly about Letterkenny and the county itself. I co-chaired the intercultural platform with a guy called Paul Kernan. There's a lot of people from a minority ethnic sector that have left, but then at the same time, there's a lot of people that are coming in. So there's a lot of help in advocacy areas, you know, with especially with regards to immigration issues. I'm a youth worker. I'm with Donegal Youth Services. I work in Castlefin and Dunloop. This summer I'm working in The Loft, which is here in Letterkenny. There's 15 of us that are working with a food bank. It's called We Care, LK Food Bank. This is to deal and tackle the food poverty that is within our county. Oh, yeah, and still find time to coach basketball, football, and all that, yeah. I believe I'm very caring. I try and put most people before myself. The reason why I have been involved so much with the Africans here is because when we started off, it was all about people get integrated within the wider society. Okay, most people came here through the asylum system, and they had very little English. And for them to communicate was a little bit of a task. I'm always helping people. It doesn't matter whether you're African, European, but as long as you're people.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, my name is Billy.
Hi, Billy.
I'm running for local council this year.
Yes.
And I'm running under the umbrella of People Before Profits. Our aim is to basically...
I ran for the last local elections for Letterkenny electoral area.
Okay, say for example the water tax, which is very debatable at the minute.
I don't have regrets about what I did. Okay. I did it because I wanted to make that change.
You have a road tax on it. You're paying water tax.
I was trying to make the guys that are in power now think twice, because if there's somebody coming in with a different direction, maybe they would, you know, speed up the game.
That is what the people are saying. So we're only standing in for the people.
Would I do it again? Maybe yes, maybe no.
I wish you very well.
Thank you very much.
Good talking to you.
Cheers.
Okay, my daughter's name is Natasha. She works for Concern. I am a very proud dad. She's my best friend. She is my best friend. And my son, BJ, who I named after myself, Billy Jr., is 17 now. He's in Royal Prior in Rafal. He is a very big football player. Yeah, so he's joined FinUps. They're under 19s and the bigger squad anyway. And he's loving every minute of it. I was a footballer. I was a basketballer as well, but football was my first love.
So I've always wanted to have a baptism where I can say, yes, I have sinned, okay, and I need forgiveness. And then I've always wanted a full immersion baptism.
Halonga Banda, having been commissioned of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son.
I was fortunate enough that the person that baptized me from the Church of Jesus Christ, he's also from South Africa. So when I immersed and then came out and he picked me up, he's a small man anyway, and he had to lift this big body of me. To me, it was very emotional. A white South African man baptizing me in Letterkenny is destiny. Okay, you can't write that chapter. Okay, but it has happened.
When I got here the first time, the country itself, you know, just smelling the country, reminded me of back home in the villages. You know, you never get that in Dublin. You know, I never got that when I was in London. I never got that when I was in Johannesburg. And then, of course, you know, I got involved in basketball and soccer here. And then, you know, I'm being given the respect, you know, from a community that I just, you know, found and joined. And they've accepted me with, some, you know, with open arms like that. I knew Letterkenny was that small so much that everybody knew everybody. Was good for me to know that, you know, a community can, you can know each other that much. So when I got now involved in my community, which is Letterkenny, you know, I go places and people tell me, oh, so yeah, Billy, is it the father to that BJ? So it has gone on to me now, you know. I've been in this town for 11 years. The first 2 years or so, I'll be the first one to tell you that I experienced racism. Okay, but I tell you, for the last 9 years, I've never got that. Because maybe I am some public figure now, so much that people don't do that. But saying that, I'm not saying there's nothing like that, because people have experienced it and they've come to me and they've told me about it. But on a personal level, I don't. It depends with the generation we're probably dealing with. With one generation of people, I think it is going down tremendously, especially in the youth sector, because they have these people as friends in their classrooms and all that. So that's their day-to-day lives. Okay. So I could probably say the awareness is there. Okay. And then on the other side, it's still imbalanced. I'll give an example again on the taxi drivers. People will come and say, oh, black man, and then close the door. So when you go to Tesco roundabout, when you look at the taxi drivers there, from the first car maybe to the 10th car, they'll all be black taxi drivers. But people are still getting into taxis and going, okay, how come these ones are not moving? There must be something wrong. There must be a system where if the guy in the 10th car is an Irish taxi driver and a customer comes and jumps all these people and then jumps into his, that guy should say, listen, there's a taxi in the beginning of the queue. Jump into that, okay, because we have to follow the queue. It has to start with the people themselves. If that system is followed, all that will be dealt with.
It's time to see after the Sean Doherty Show, Monday to Friday, for the best in news, current affairs. See, the only person that actually tried to hurt you physically was this one guy in the back.
In the back, who is sitting
right behind you. Behind me. And he's the guy who went for the money, used the seatbelt to try and choke you.
There's a taxi driver who lives just up the road from here. He was attacked by three young boys just here in my road here. He picked them up from the Voodoo, okay, and they told him that they were going to Longland. One of the boys was trying to put his hand behind the driver's seat, so he was trying to get that money. Okay, so when they got to here in Longland, this boy pulled the seatbelt, the seatbelt that the taxi driver had, pulled it, and then tried to strangle him, trying to get the money, the phones, and everything else.
Okay. Well, it's an awful experience. I mean, what has this done to you?
You see, the swallowing difficulties.
You have problems swallowing?
Yes, swallowing difficulties.
His family phoned me, tell me about it. And then I went to visit him and then got the full story. We went to Highland Radio on the Sean Doherty Show. It was just stating our story, and to the man, it was a bit traumatic.
Kofi and Billy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, John.
Just turned 25 to 12 on high.
When I was very young, okay, my parents were in exile, so we traveled from country to country just to run away from the madness that was in our time, which is apartheid. Whenever we went, okay, I saw how people lived. I wanted to explore more on how other African countries or people from other African countries go about on their day-to-day normal lives. So when I came here, the first thing I did was I went out looking for Africans. Okay, so I would follow them just to get to know them, just to, you know, just to see how, but I saw that they live differently, especially like Nigerians. Nigerians, what fascinated the most about Nigerians was the fact that they love to have fun, okay. So everything was like a celebration to them. Nigerians, wherever they are in the world, okay, they'll probably be more in number than any other African country. In Letterkenny alone, there should be more than, I know it's more than 400 families.
My name is Francis Friday Udoko. My wife's name is Florence
Udoku. I have two daughters here with one son. By September, I'll be 7 years here in Ireland. We stay here in number 59 Blue Cedars, Balibafe. So I'm a Nigerian, an Igbo Nigerian, an Igbo tribe from Nigeria.
Igbo is one of the biggest tribes in Nigeria.
To me, he's a brother.
He's the one who gave me the name.
His name is Okechukwu Banda. So now that is like in Igbo place, we give names. He gave me because now it's a gift of God to Igbo Association.
Yeah, now I'm honorary. So they want to give me a Nigerian passport.
What is going on today is all about Igbo Association. So today is my own turn to host the organization.
Francis, now we want to start. Let us pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So your job is to look after them. Make sure that everybody get maybe all the person want. Well fed, drink, be happy.
Now, what I'm going to do, then I'm going to dish out the Egusi soup.
I never used to eat any of the food that they have, like the jollof rice, the pepper soup and all that. So all that became new things that I was learning, and I began to love it anyway. When we got here, okay, they had an Afro-Asian shop here in Letterkenny, which only served, to me, they served food that were Nigerian, but they served food that really we didn't have back home, like plantains. You know plantains. Plantain was something that I thought was a banana. Okay, but then they all cut it open, slice it, and oh.
Thanks be to the people that cook. And also thanks be to the people that eat. Because if they didn't cook well, we won't eat well. And if we don't eat well, that means they didn't cook well. So thanks to both of us, because we did good.
My dad passed away on the 7th of May. It's something that happened so suddenly because he was okay. And he went into the farm, and back home it can be very dusty. He must have inhaled a lot of dust. He said to my brother that he couldn't breathe. But then when they got to hospital, he still was complaining about, you know, breathing problem, difficulties and all that. And the doctor looked at him and said, simple procedure. We just put him on oxygen and, you know, open up his lungs. So when my brother went in, you know, to verify with the doctor, you know, he said he could see from the doctor that something was wrong. And then the next thing was, give us half an hour, you know, and then, we are sorry, you couldn't make it. You know, what's the problem? Lung failure. He wasn't sick to start with. He wasn't sick. He was too up and down. Yes, 2 weeks before then, he wasn't feeling well. He had normal, like a flu or something like that. But he was still active. And then he wanted to come in this year, but we wanted the kids to go and see him instead. So it was all about reconnecting back with him so that they see him this year. So they were supposed to go back in June to see him. He was excited, you know, so you can see he wasn't, you know, done or anything. So he was excited about what was happening, and then all of a sudden he couldn't. The last time I saw him was 2007. Yeah, 2007. The thing about me is I'm afraid of flying, okay, which doesn't make it easy for me. And then two, it had become very expensive of late, just getting a ticket, you know. And then if you go as a family, you need a good 10,000, because when you get there, even there, you know, people are looking at you. You're in Europe, you earn a lot of money, so it's like you, and you see with us, the families are just too big anyway. Yeah, so yeah, it's tricky, but burials normally take 3 days. You can always postpone it, okay, but then you have to pay more to the mortuary because they have to keep the body longer, which is what I wanted, but because I didn't have money to travel. And you see, like when it happened to me, I was powerless. My daughter came up with this GoFundMe, and I always owe it to my daughter anyway, because I couldn't have made the trip. And just family and friends around, I think to me that showed me how much the people around my community really care about me, because if they could have done that, okay, raised the 1,000 that I was looking for, because a ticket was 960. They buried my dad 2 days before I got there, because I said, listen, just go ahead and bury him, because we were paying now a lot of money for the body to be in the mortuary. So I said, no, just. And then all of a sudden, GoFundMe idea came up, and then the money was raised within like 3-4 days. So yeah, it's a pity I missed it, but at least I was there, seeing the rest of the family. And I couldn't wait to get back home. Okay, I saw my friends, and I tell you, I was saying to myself, is there anything I can do here that will keep me here? I decided I was not going to come back. Okay, that I think I was just getting confused. The second week of my being there, I think reality started kicking in. And then I thought, yeah, I actually want to go back home. So when I said that, they asked me, what is home? Then I realized that the home I was talking about was Ireland. So I'm a bit confused, I think, with where home is. But right now, I think my home is here, because this is where I found the peace and the joy that I needed. I'm not ruling out going back home, you know, to Africa at some stage. I think this is home for me. This is home, so I belong to both worlds, but this is home.
How Did I End Up Here is a Soft Irish Rain production for Highland Radio. It was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television license fee.